It comes in Philippians. If you've got a Bible, turn to it. It's Philippians chapter 4, and I'm just going to have a look with you at verse 5 in Philippians chapter 4. And it says this. It may be slightly differently worded in your Bible, but in my Bible, this is what it says. It says, Let your gentleness be evident to all. And then it finishes up with these words, the Lord is near. Let me read it again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I've got a simple message today, nothing, I hope, complicated, but straightforward. And it's about this issue of gentleness. It's a strange word, isn't it, that Paul chooses, let your gentleness. He might have said, let your faith, or let your prophetic insight, or let the power of the miracles that are worked among you be evident to everybody. But he doesn't use that word. He says, let your gentleness. And there's something about that gentleness that really strikes me. I want to start by reading you. I worked in the law for many years. I was a lawyer, worked as a solicitor and a barrister. And some of the little anecdotes I have, you may find come from the law. But I want to read one to you. This is about somebody who is not gentle, not in the slightest bit gentle. This is not an English case. This is an American case. It's called the case of Judge Murphy. And Judge Murphy became a worthy winner of the award for the angriest judge of the year. He had an argument in court with the public defender, who was a man called Andrew Weinstock. The judge told him, and this is really happened, this happened in court, the judge told him, if I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now. Weinstock persisted in his point, and the judge said this. He said, if you want to fight, let's go out back and I'll just beat your ass. Excuse me, Lord. That's what he said. And he then said, the two men then left the court. And from outside the court, outside the room, yelling and thuds could be heard. The judge then returned, breathless, into court. The spectators applauded, and proceedings continued in other cases. Judge Murphy was suspended after anger management counseling. But, you know, we're looking at gentleness this morning, just for a few minutes together. I want to unpack this verse with you for a moment or two. Let's take it in stages. That first word, let. Let. Paul says, let your gentleness. And what he is saying is, allow or permit your gentleness. He's saying we have a choice. We can choose sometimes how to behave. In fact, we can choose pretty well always how to behave. And he says here, choose not to hide your gentleness. Sometimes we need to exercise our will to be gentle, you see. We don't always feel like it, do we? We don't always feel like letting the other person have the last word or letting the other person have his or her say in our argument. We have to choose. Sometimes it's not easy to take that step and make that choice. Do you know, 3 weeks ago today, we celebrated Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It says about the Holy Spirit in the letter to the Galatians. And as you know very well, it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Against such there's no law. Gentleness. I think we often overlook this wonderful quality of gentleness. It takes time for a fruit to grow, doesn't it? So it takes time for the fruit of gentleness to grow in our lives. But let's decide this morning, not to hinder its growth. Let's decide to be gentlemen and gentlewomen when we leave the room this morning. What about this second word in this lovely little verse, your? Let your gentleness. I find that a very encouraging word, because Paul seems to say that we've already got gentleness in our lives. He's saying, just let it out. He's not saying, go and find some and get some from somewhere. He says, you've got it already. I've got it. I need to hear this word. I've discovered I'm not a gentleman, actually. Far from it. You know, I want my own way. Don't we all? Please say yes. Somebody identify with that. Yeah, that's good. We are not gentle people, and yet he seems to say here, you have it. Let your gentleness be evident. It is yours. You might not feel like being gentle, but we know from what he says here that we already have it in our lives. Maybe a struggle, but let it out. And now let's come to gentleness. Let your gentleness, be evident to everybody. What is it then? What is he talking about here, this fruit of gentleness? How should we behave to show it? Do you know there's a number of different translations of gentleness in the Bible? One is the Wycliffe translation, translates it as patience. The Cranmer translation translates it as softness. The Reims Bible calls it modesty. The RV calls it forbearance. The KJV talks about moderation. Other versions I know say reasonableness. It's been described in this way: courtesy and graciousness, and includes the power of yielding and the poise of the soul, which enables one to sacrifice his own his own rights. Let me say that again. The poise of the soul, which enables one to sacrifice his own rights. Let's be clear about this. It is not wimpishness. It's not always climbing down. It's standing up. It's rooted in firmness, in self-control, in self-discipline, in self-awareness. That is gentleness. And if we put into operation this fruit of gentleness, that brings power to our lives. I believe that in gentleness, in self-sacrifice, there's immense power. Because of the power of love, you see. Love is not a forceful issue. It doesn't force its way in. Certainly, I'm sure that nobody here can testify that Jesus Christ has forced his way in. He comes in love, doesn't he? He speaks words of, sure, maybe words that are words of truth sometimes in our lives that we don't like, but words of love and protection to surround us. Gentleness is not wimpishness. Gentleness speaks of power where there is love. Indeed, Paul puts it like this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's not wimpishness. That is gentleness. That is submission to the will of God. And that speaks of freshness and fullness and goodness and truth and love, and of the power, of the enormous power of love seen in gentleness, firmness, self-control. It means, gentleness means, I think, it's intensely practical in our lives. It means not taking offense too easily. You get behind the wheel of a car and set out in the morning. Boy, I ride a push bike, you know. I say everybody cuts you up on a push bike. Pedestrians, drivers, Everybody wants to knock you off your pushbike. It's very difficult to be gentle sometimes when you're riding a pushbike or driving a car. It means not taking offense, not being self-defensive. Letting go, letting it be like water off a duck's back when we feel hurt or insulted. It speaks of a certain dignity in our lives that we carry with us. You know, and these are things that all of us need to experience during the week on a practical day-to-day basis. I speak to myself just as much as, if not more than, to you. Did you hear during this week about that shooting in the States, in that church, that those black Americans were shot dead? Did you hear that the gunman, a man apparently called Mr. Roofer, had sat in the church for an hour before he shot them? And he nearly didn't shoot them. Why, he said? Because they were so kind. I saw them praying on television afterwards. Big guys standing in a huddle and just praying, "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus," saying those words. And I understand that they've now forgiven this guy. That's gentleness. That's not, "Oh, taking revenge. This is my right." It's the fruit of the spirit of gentleness in our lives. I remember seeing years ago, you remember those floods in New Orleans some years ago when people lost everything? And I remember seeing on television after the floods a group of Americans, black Americans, standing in a church hall where they were sleeping. They had nothing, they'd lost everything. And they were in a huddle and they were just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Not, "This isn't fair. Look what's happened to me. This is awful." Just showing gentleness. Gentleness. This is a real challenge. A real challenge. It's a real challenge to me. And unfortunately, focus on another word just for a moment, the word evident. Evident. Let your gentleness be evident. Let it be evident. I know a little bit about evidence. And I know that without evidence, there's no case. I know that if the Crown doesn't come up with any evidence in their case, the case will be dismissed. They'll probably have to offer no evidence and go away. But we are evidence here. We are the evidence of gentleness in our lives. He's saying, let it be obvious by the way you behave, by the way you react to the sort of situations we've spoken about already this morning. Let it be evident in you. You are the proof, he's saying. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And you are the proof. As people look at you, let them see gentleness in your lives. Let them see not wimpishness, but let them see a real dignity and a love of our fellow mankind, and not taking offense too easily, these sort of qualities that are difficult to get a hold of. We have a duty, we have a responsibility to show this to the world. That's rather a dirty word these days, isn't it, duty? But we do, we have it, to show that wonderful fruit of gentleness to those whom we meet. And we all meet folk, don't we? We all get irritated with people. Charlie spoke about his children. Boy, I used to get irritated with my children sometimes. There's a confession. But I suppose we all do. And yet, we need to show gentleness at the same time. And then he says, let your gentleness be evident. Now, I don't like these words, these last two words, because it says to everybody. There are some people you don't want to be gentle to. I don't know if any of you have been into Sainsbury's in Portswood. Do you know that big shop, big Sainsbury's? There's a great big entry foyer in there when you go in, isn't there? And I used to go in. I'd go in early in the morning and get a croissant for my breakfast and a paper and take it back home. It's wonderful being retired. Charlie described it as the best job he'd ever had once, and I agree with that. There's time to look at the paper over breakfast and get a paper and go back home and just munch through my croissant. And I used to put my bike inside that foyer. Do you know, you take it in, there's a little child's car in there, isn't there? A yellow thing, which kids love to jig up and down. I used to stand the bike up there. And one day I was doing it, I'd done it often, and one day I was doing it, and this great big security guard came up to me with a Scottish accent. Anybody from Scotland here? No, that's just as well. But he said to me, "You can't leave your bike in here, laddie." And I said, "Well, I've always left it in here. Get it out! Out! It's against the rules." And I said, "Well, I've brought it in here for a long time. And in fact, some while ago, one of your colleagues looked after it for me because I'd forgotten the padlock." So he said, "Ah, oh, you shouldn't have done that." And you don't feel like being gentle in those sort of circumstances. Do you know what I mean? This is deeply practical. So I ate humble pie and took the bike out and left it outside. And I've done that ever since, although he hasn't been there since. I'm walking in righteousness, as you know. But gentleness. I guess I should have said, "Oh, okay, sorry about that. You're quite right." I didn't. It's so easy to, in this world in which we live, I think the world is a harsher place than it was maybe 40 or 50 years ago. Maybe it's just the effects of the press. But you read about this awful case and that awful case and this happening and that happening. I think it's become a more difficult place to show gentleness in. Which is why, you know, if the Philippians needed it, don't we need it today? Boy, I just wanted to leave this simple little message with you today about gentleness. And why? Why should we be gentle? Well, look at the last part of this verse. The reason is given. You see, it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." And then it says this, "The Lord is near." Isn't that lovely? Isn't that terrific? The Lord is near. And this isn't a big brother nearness. This isn't the Lord saying, "Ha ha, I saw you not being gentle today." This is the nearness of God in love. This is the Lord who comes to us and folds his arms around us and picks us up. Okay, he's a God of righteousness and truth and all these things. But this is a nearness of peace, and through peace of strength. He is near. Sometimes he doesn't feel near, but he is near. I guarantee he's near. The Bible says he's nearer to us than we are to ourselves. I've struggled with that verse. I thought, well, he must be in there somewhere then, Lord. And he is. He's nearer to us than we are to ourselves. We took a holiday in late April into early May. We went away on the canals. Tremendous on a narrowboat. Anybody done that? I recommend it. Terrific way of relaxing. And we were away actually for a month. We took 4 weeks off. My wife hurt her back and we had to come home after 3 weeks because she wasn't able to walk about anymore. So perhaps it was me as a very cruel husband getting her to rush off and do all the locks and push the lock gates, things like that. But she's okay again now, but she was in considerable pain for a while when she put her foot on the ground. Now, I thought, well, this isn't fair. I don't like this. And it seemed that God was a long way away for a couple of days. And then we took a day's break on a Sunday. We just stopped and moored up and rested. We went to church in the morning, and she rested in the afternoon. And that evening, I got off the boat and walked up the canal. And round the corner, under a bridge, the next boat was moored. And it had these letters in big writing on it, BCF. Now, BCF stands for Boaters Christian Fellowship. And the Lord was near. In fact, the Lord was just round the corner on the next boat. But he was near. And it made me think, yes, you are near, Lord. And I got down and spoke to the people in the boat and said, look, my wife's hurt her back, and explained the situation. I said, would you pray? And they said, of course we would, we'll pray. So they prayed. The back didn't get better straight away. It took a few weeks to sort out. But it was, one just realized the nearness, the closeness of God. And God is with us. not just sitting in here in this room, as we walk out of the door in a few minutes, the Lord goes with us. He doesn't leave us. He promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. That means never to forget about us. The Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, why is your mind always full of man? Or why are you always thinking about man? I find myself saying to myself sometimes, Lord, what have I done that you should be thinking about me all the time? You know, I've done this wrong and that wrong, and yet you think about me. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. The Lord is near. So because he is near, he prompts us to behave gently and to behave maybe a little wisely, to bite our tongue off sometimes, to count to 10. Well, it takes a long time to count to 10, to count to 3 anyway. So that's what I wanted to say. I want to encourage us and myself on this path of gentleness this morning. I think this is an important time to think about this because of what goes on in the world, apart from anything else. Let me read out one more little case about somebody else who wasn't particularly gentle. This is another American judge, the rudest judge of the year. This was Judge Lynn Stuart Mays, and she was sitting in Baltimore City Circuit Court, the State Court of Appeals. They suspended her from the bench for 5 days and required her to complete a 2-year monitoring period because she was so rude to lawyers and litigants. She told one lawyer, "Not to disagree with me, because you are going to lose. And do you know why? 1, I am the judge. 2, I am the judge. 3, I am the judge." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word in all its simplicity and yet in all its power, in all its beauty and yet in all its wonder. And we, all of us, take it on board this morning, and we ask you to let the fruit of gentleness, maybe the fruit that is the least considered of all the fruits of the Spirit, maybe the fruit that is passed over most often, Lord, help us, use us, let us make sure it takes root in our lives and grows. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so extraordinarily good. Amen. Thank you, one and all.
Something to think about, isn't it?